All right, let me pray. Father God, we do just thank you for your great love for us. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your new morning mercies, Lord, that we can wake up and be with you and know you, experience your goodness and grace in new and fresh ways, put yesterday behind us, not worry about tomorrow, but just rest in your presence today. And we thank you for the rhythm of church and the ability to come together, to gather together as believers, to encourage and equip one another to love and good deeds. We thank you for this place, these people, this family that allows us to grow together and walk together and serve you hand in hand, shoulder to shoulder. We just pray that you would teach us from your word and help us to become more like your son Jesus. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So one of the unique things about Firm Family, at least in my experience with church, is a diversity of teachers. There's a lot of churches where you have a teaching pastor or a head pastor who teaches from the pulpit every week, and there's a lot of benefits and blessings to that. We are a church that has many different people teach. And so the good news about that is that when you have somebody that's really not speaking a language or teaching in a way that you really connect to or get much from, there's hope on the other side, right? And so for all of you out here going, again, this is the last week you have to listen to me for a long time. There'll be some new and exciting voices coming up. So I'm excited to be able to finish this series. It's been impactful to me as I've studied these simple things that are very profound and just found so much richness in these three short verses. And so each week I've challenged you guys to be able to recite these three verses, self-proclaimed easiest three verses in the Bible to memorize, to recite it from memory. So as I was walking in today, hoping that somebody would step up and be able to do that for me, Bonnie Josephek offered her services. So she is going to share with us 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Everybody give her a hand. The beauty of memorization is not in performance, but it's in the ability to recall what God has said when you most need it. The Holy Spirit draws out of the things that we have been pouring into our hearts. And so memorization is just one of those great tools to be able to take God's word everywhere and have it with you always. So I'll keep encouraging you guys in that. So just a quick recap of where we've been and where we'll go today. Week one, we talked about rediscovering God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And the way I want us to remember that as we leave this series is that God's will for us in Christ Jesus is that we become like Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to believe that he is the good and in control and fully competent engineer and operator of the roller coaster that we call life. And so what I want us to think about is that is the foundation of the homes that we build. And then the second week, we talked about rediscovering biblical joy. And we realize that biblical joy is a happiness that depends on who Jesus is, not who we are or what is going on around us. And so think of biblical joy as the house that is built on the foundation of a sovereign and loving God. And then the third week, we talked about rediscovering prayer or rediscovering relational intimacy with God. That he invites us into an intimate relationship with him as our king and creator. And we talked about two things, direct Godwardness, those times that we go directly to God, and indirect Godwardness, where we have a posture and an attitude of thanks and praise and worship no matter what we're doing. And so think about prayer as the relationship that happens within the home of joy on the foundation of God's sovereignty. And today we're going to look at rediscovering thanksgiving, being thankful in all circumstances. And so think of that as the outward expression of the relational intimacy that we experience in the home of joy. So this is how we actually act upon that joy that we get from God's Spirit because we serve an all-loving, in control, and fully competent God. So we're going to look, and today's message will be intensely practical. At the end, I hope to leave us with some very practical things that we can do. The last 2 years have provided much opportunity to lack gratitude. How many of you guys would agree with that? Global pandemic, political division, social strife, economic uncertainty. And those are only the big overarching things. Every one of us has things in our lives, circumstances in our lives that could create a spirit and heart of ungratefulness or ingratitude. Thanksgiving doesn't come easy and it isn't always natural. And yet we see here that God calls us to give thanks in all circumstances. I just read a book by an author named Sam Crabtree, and it's called Practicing Thankfulness. And much of what I'm going to share with you guys today flows out of his insights and observations from Scripture. So grab the book. The books are always better than the 15 minutes that or 20 minutes that can come from the front. So my encouragement is, if there's anything here that you're going, that really piques my interest or that was really helpful, go ahead and grab his book. Sam Crabtree, Practicing Thankfulness. He says that thankfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit that overflows from a heart that rightly understands all Jesus is and promises to be to us. I'm going to read that again. Thankfulness is a fruit of God's Spirit that overflows from a heart that rightly understands all Jesus is and promises to be to us. There is a very common theme in all four of these messages. It's the great church answer, Jesus. Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our relational intimacy, and Jesus is the source of our thankfulness. Thankfulness is a mark of faith that is birthed out of humble submission to the sovereignty of God. So think about that roller coaster, and we have that fully competent and fully good engineer and operator. And so thankfulness is a mark of faith in that reality, and it's birthed out of submission to the sovereignty of God, to his authority, his right as king and creator to direct our lives. Thankfulness believes in faith that nothing in our life will be wasted. Nothing in our life will be wasted. Romans 8:28 states this clearly, that we know that God will work all things to the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. So thankfulness flows out of a faith that nothing in our life will be wasted. None of us live the life we plan. We live the life God has planned for us. None of us live the life we planned. We live the life that God has planned for us. A shorter way to say that is we plan, God laughs. We have plans for our lives and they don't always go that way. Psalm 139 says that every day of our lives was written in God's book before one of them came to be. That is an incredibly peaceful and secure statement from Scripture. The doorway to thanksgiving is opened by putting to death our spirit of entitlement. The doorway to thanksgiving is opened by putting to death our spirit of entitlement. How many of you guys think that we live in an entitled culture? Entitlement is everywhere. And what is entitlement? It's the belief that I'm owed something. It's the belief that just my very being here deserves certain things. And that entitlement bleeds into Christianity. It bleeds into the church. And it is an enemy to thanksgiving. Because we plan our lives, we think we know what we deserve and what we should receive and how our lives should unfold. And when they don't happen that way, that entitlement causes us to move toward ingratitude rather than gratitude. thanklessness rather than thankfulness. We all have expectations, and the more we drag those expectations into our lives, the less thankful we become. How many of you guys had expectations going into marriage, for those of us who are married? I remember Will distinctly saying, leave your expectations at the door, but that's a very hard thing to do. And my wife and I came into marriage, and we had very specific expectations, some from our home of origin, some from just what we thought we deserved. And so we battled like rams for that first year. And but for the grace of God giving us Will and Lindy to meet with us, which was offered once a quarter, which was taken once every 3 weeks, we wouldn't have survived. We had expectations and entitlements that caused us not to be thankful for the gift of marriage, not to be thankful for the spouse we got, but to feel ungrateful, ingratitude, or thanklessness. Counting our blessings reorients our naturally disoriented hearts and minds. So that word disorienting, it's when life is not making sense. You feel like you are spinning. You feel like things are out of control. You feel like you're about to tip over. This is a random story, but yesterday my son was doing a science fair, and one of the kids up front got so nervous that he was ready to pass out. And luckily one of the dads saw him and was able to grab him, but there was a disorientation and he was making noise like, whoa, whoa. And it was a reality that he was disoriented. And so counting our blessings reorients our naturally disoriented hearts and minds. Romans 12:2, which Janae just shared, is do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When we renew our minds in Christ through Scripture, we reorient our hearts and we begin to count our blessings, that life is a gift, not gain. And therefore, the things that we have, we do not deserve. They are gifts and blessings that we should count regularly and daily. I ran across this lake illustration today, and so I'm going to share a short story with you guys, and I think it helps us to understand the value of Thanksgiving and the value of counting our blessings. So this young man goes to an older wise man in a spirit of bitterness. Life is not going the way that he wants it to go, and he is complaining about all the things that aren't happening the way that he wants them to happen. So he has this bitterness in his heart. And the old wise man is listening to him, and he hands him a cup. And he takes some water, and he pours it into that cup as this young man's talking. And then he brings a thing of salt. And he tells the young man, take a scoop and put it in the water. So the young man scoops the salt and puts it in the water. He goes, no, scoop a little bit more. Your life's pretty bitter. So he scoops and puts even more salt, stirs it around. He says, go ahead and take a drink of that. He goes to swallow it, and he spits it out. The saltiness is too strong for him to be able to swallow. And he goes, what was the point of that? And he says, come with me. And he walks him out to a freshwater lake. And he says, take that same amount of salt and pour it into the lake. And so the young man pours that salt into the lake, stirs it around. He says, go ahead and have a drink. And he pulls the water out, and it's not so salty. Why? Dilution, right? That because the lake was much larger than the cup, the salt was diluted, and therefore it wasn't as powerful, and it didn't have the ability to take away the refreshment of that water. So here's the message there. Thankfulness is the water, and thankfulness dilutes the saltiness of suffering. Thankfulness dilutes the saltiness of suffering. And God calls us to an ocean of thankfulness. That no matter how much salt is dumped into our lives, no matter how much suffering we experience, very real suffering, the dilution is because of all that we have to be thankful for. And we can still drink from the well because that salt is diluted and the refreshment still exists. So the challenge for us is not to be the cup, but to be the lake and to move toward the ocean. And what that looks like practically is filling our minds and hearts with very real and very practical daily thanksgiving. And that thanksgiving is the water that increases the size of our thankfulness. So we may start with the cup, but daily we're filling our cup with thankfulness, and it's overflowing and becoming a pond and a lake and an ocean. Thankfulness takes practice. To practice thankfulness, you don't need to feel something, you need to do something. When we practice thanksgiving, when Paul tells us to be thankful in all circumstances, he doesn't necessarily say be thankful for all circumstances, but be thankful in all circumstances. And so when we are practicing thankfulness, we need to be specific. And so I have 8 specific things that we can do almost every single day to begin to fill our cup to overflowing, to allow that cup to move toward a lake, and to allow that lake to become an ocean of thanksgiving. Number 1, thank God for the gospel, for human history, and for his word. Without the gospel, we are nothing, and we have no hope. The good news of God's salvation of fallen man through the person and work of Jesus Christ, that should begin to overflow our cup with thanksgiving. Because now we realize that all is grace. Nothing is deserved. And when all is grace, we begin to see things to be thankful for everywhere. The Bible. God has preserved his special revelation, his very words, throughout all of human history. Without the Bible, we'd have general revelation, but we wouldn't know the specifics of the good news. We wouldn't know exactly the life of abundance that God calls us to. And so every morning, we can be thankful for the preservation of Scripture through human history. Number 2, thank God for the specifics of your day. The problem with Thanksgiving is we tend to leave it general. We think that everything, okay, we're thankful for the day. Get specific. The way our family does specific Thanksgiving is that when we sit down for dinner, we do a thing called roses and thorns. Has everybody ever heard of that? The roses are the things, the specific things that we're thankful for every day. The thorns are the things that we weren't as thankful for, right? What I found is because as a family, we intentionally focus on the roses, my kids truly come to most dinners without thorns. It's not because things went perfectly or their day was great. It's just that their minds have been conditioned to focus on the good, to focus on what they have to be thankful for. And they truly struggle to say, what is the thorn? Sometimes it's really clear, but a lot of days there are no thorns. And we can all do that. If we are daily coming to thank God for the specific things he has done in our lives, we will begin to dilute the saltiness of suffering. Number 3, thank your wife or husband for the things you often take for granted. So for those of us who are married, I know there's younger folks in here, but you may be married one day. Thank your spouse for the things you most often take for granted. We watch our spouses do things all day and we feel that subconscious entitlement. I deserve that. She should do that for me. And we don't communicate a thankfulness and a thanksgiving to our spouses. So every single day, we can be thankful and communicate that thankfulness for specific things that our spouses do that we often take for granted. Number 4. Thank your kids specifically for attitudes and actions that bless others. I know as a parent, I often focus on the things they're not doing right. And I'm always focusing on the things that I want them to change. Those things often reflect a lot of me. But if I choose specifically every single day to look for the things to be thankful for, and then to communicate that thanksgiving in very specific ways, attitudes and actions that they did that day to bless others, it will create a lake of thanksgiving within my home. Number five, thank those you work with for specific actions and attitudes that bless you. We don't always work in environments where we're around all other believers. We don't often work in environments that we always enjoy or are thankful for. We can tend to become critical or ungrateful for the situations that we are in. And yet most of us spend a lot of our waking hours in the workplace. And so one of the things we can do to change our view, to recondition ourselves, to reorient ourselves, is to specifically look for thankful or things to be thankful for within our workplace, and to communicate that thanksgiving to the people that are responsible for that. Number six, buy thank you cards and put them somewhere you often go. Very specific. Put them somewhere that you often go. I bought thank you cards at work because I wanted to thank people at one point, and I shoved them in a corner of my drawer that I never go to. And therefore, those things were never on my radar, and it probably caused me to miss out on countless opportunities to communicate my thanksgiving. So if we buy thank you cards, we're already positioning ourselves and reorienting ourselves to look for people and things to be thankful for. And we're conditioning and reorienting ourselves to communicate that thankfulness in written form. And if we put those somewhere that we're often going to go to, we will more often utilize those things. My wife is much better at this than I am. And so right before Christmas, our kids are doing jujitsu. It's a sport. Most people aren't familiar with it. And they have a coach who has had a really hard life but is an amazing young man who communicates amazing truths to our kids. I don't believe that he is a follower of Jesus, but he's just a very respectful, great leader, right? And so I've thought that for a while, and I've communicated that to my wife, but I've never communicated that to him. That's kind of weird. We're guys. It feels kind of awkward, right? She says, why don't you write him a thank you card for Christmas and communicate what you're thankful for. That seems weird, right? So she convinced me that it was a good thing to do, and I wrote down the things, the specific things I was thankful for, and I gave that to him. And the next week when I saw him, he was near tears. Not because of anything I had done. He just said, you know, this has been hard. I don't always feel like people appreciate the work I'm putting into this, and I'm thankful that you communicated that. That has re-energized me to pour myself into these students. And it was just something that, again, I didn't think was going to be that meaningful, and the Lord used it in very meaningful ways. So we just don't know the power of our words. Number seven, think of your greatest irritations and devote time to discover what you can be thankful for in those irritations. How many of you guys have been irritated lately? Things bug us. And our first reaction is to just fester on those irritations and to become more and more frustrated and less thankful for whatever that is that irritates us. What if we just stopped for a second and we said, let me give God space to show me what I can be thankful for amidst this irritation? It may not be the irritation itself, but it may be something along within that realm that allows you to change your perspective and continue to fill that lake of thankfulness. Number eight, when suffering, read the story of Jesus and Joseph and thank God for passages like Romans 8:28. So here's what I mean by that. We do suffer, and there are things that truly are not thanksgiving worthy. There are things in our lives that are painful, that are uncomfortable, that create real tragedy and suffering in our lives. But what we can do is go to God's word to see what he has to say, to look at the life of Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his siblings, who ended up with all sorts of problems and tragedies, and yet over time, God revealed to him the purpose of that suffering. And eventually, he found himself in a place that is unbelievably profound to human history. He kept the Israelites alive, and the Israelites are the line from which the Savior comes. And so in the end, he said, what you meant for evil, God intended for good. So when we're most disillusioned by our suffering, go to the promises of Scripture and say, Lord, I have no idea what you're doing right now. I am not necessarily thankful for these circumstances, but I trust you. I'm thankful for stories like Joseph and for stories like Jesus, where you did turn all things to the good of those who love you. And I trust and thank you that you will do that here. Nothing is wasted. The last one is thank our pastors for specific ways they encourage your faith. Without faith, it would be impossible to maintain a posture of thanksgiving. Life is too hard. Things are too messy. Everything around us is too overwhelming. But our pastors create ways and encourage us in ways that keep us pursuing faith in Christ. Allow us to have the tools and the opportunities to grow in Christ-likeness. Often we don't thank them. We tell them the ways that we'd like things to change. We tell them the things that we're not as happy about. But what if we were a church that was overwhelming in our communication of thankfulness to those who serve us? That would change the entire environment that we exist in. I'm going to leave us with this. With thankfulness, everyone wins. You get more delight. God gets more glory. And those around you get more enjoyment. With thankfulness, everyone wins. You get more delight. God gets more glory. And those around you get more enjoyment. Let us begin to practice thanksgiving, to fill our cups to overflowing, to become lakes rather than cups, and eventually oceans, so that the saltiness of suffering is diluted and loses its power in our lives. Let me pray. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for the good news of salvation through the person and work of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the preservation of your word. Lord, we thank you that you've placed us in a world desperately in need of reorienting. Lord, that we can become people of thanksgiving in all circumstances. Lord, I pray that we would move from thinking to acting. Lord, when we find ourselves thankful for things, that we would lean into that and communicate it verbally and written. Lord, I pray that we would become people that amid suffering and discomfort and pain, that we would begin to dig below the surface and trust that there is goodness to come from this. Lord, that you are the author of all things that are good and true and beautiful. And I pray that we'd even find thanksgiving in our suffering. Lord, let us become oceans of thanksgiving that dilute the saltiness of suffering so that we can worship you and we can communicate thanksgiving to a world in desperate need of good news. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.